Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, and welcome to a very special edition of Serious Issues, a comic book podcast. This one is all about the answers to the questions that you asked us over the last week. It's the first ever Serious Issues Q&A special. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
We're going two names this time.
Yeah.
Normally it's just one, but it's a special edition, two names. So if your question was, what is Siobhan's last name?
It's Coombs.
I think it's pretty easy to find out.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Why didn't you just Google it?
Absolutely.
So we've got a whole bunch of questions from you on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/seriousissuespodcast. If for whatever reason this is your first Serious Issues episode, this is nothing like what it normally is. This is a little bit of bonus butter on your toast. That's a saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't like bonus butter?
Are you a butter fan? You a butter or a margarine?
I'm not a disgusting maniac, so butter, obviously. Yeah. Butter on everything.
Well, that's my only question for you today.
Good.
So we've got a whole bunch of questions. We're going to try and get through as many of them. I think we'll try for 50.
All right. Let's do it.
Are you ready? All right, cool. So question number one comes from one of our favorite little boys that listens to the podcast. Connor Stevens.
My favorite Queensland teen.
He says, all right, so you've run through your life, starting at whatever age, as a big comic book fan, what have sort of been the books or book genres that have signposted different parts of your two lives? Like, was there a specific type of comic you read as a young teen? Was there the specific type you were a late teen? Just out of school into uni, working at 23, etc. I remember you, Levins, talking about first getting into Dan Clowes as a late teen.
Hmm. Good question.
He's already kind of answered mine, so
yeah.
I'll start. So for me, when I was a kid, it was all about like Australian strip comics, mm-hmm. and collections. So I guess when I was like 12,
like Ginger Megs.
Ginger Megs.
Wow.
I have signatures of two separate.
Megs.
Yeah, that's right. I met two creators, two creators of this pathetic Australian schoolboy comic called Ginger Megs. But I was a big fan of Gary Larson's The Far Side.
Uh-huh.
I love Foot Rot Flats.
Mm-hmm.
I know Gary Larson is American, and I still love all those things. I love Peanuts.
Mm.
And I had a collection of about 40 small novel sized versions of Peanuts collections that my dad and my mum had collected separately from each other before they knew each other. And so I combined them, and they each had like their names written in the front of them,
or
like
nice.
Their brother's names that they stole, you know, that kind of great
cute.
Stuff. So I like Peanuts was my first like true comic book love. And I love those big Fantagraphics collections that they did, the hardcover collections, all the Peanuts comics.
Yeah, they're real nice.
I collected Simpsons comics when I was in late primary school. So when I was about like 10 to 12, I collected Simpsons comics and Ren and Stimpy comics,
mm-hmm.
which are notable because Dan Slott was the writer of Ren and Stimpy comics. And he wrote one of my all-time favorite comics, which is the first Choose Your Own Adventure comic I ever read,
Fine.
Ren and Stimpy. I have a passion for Choose Your Own Adventure comics. I have about six.
Nice.
That's probably all the ones that exist.
Yeah.
So I like collecting those. It's a very specific kind of comic I collect. Late teens, I got really into Fantagraphics. Robert Crumb, Dan Clowes, Charles Burns.
Mm-hmm.
I ate all that stuff up, and I spent...
Edgy teen Levins.
That's right. It was all I read, and I you know, held my nose up at superhero comics.
Mm.
To that point, I hadn't read many of them. That was just, you know, I just the image of superheroes didn't appeal to me at all. Mm. I didn't realize it was all about drama and, mm. And relationships and stuff like that. So yeah, I loved, you know, arty comics that got turned into movies that were as disappointing as superhero movies at the time. Although the Ghost World movie is quite good.
Yeah, it's all right.
And then it wasn't until like my like early 20s that I became really good friends with my friend Angus Truscott, who I do Hey Fam with, mm-hmm. and he had a massive Batman collection. So I guess like late teens was all like Fantagraphics stuff. And I used to go to Comic Cons and comic like, you know, markets and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I would just buy every Fantagraphics thing. I had a standing order for 8-Ball at King's. That was the only thing I had.
Wow.
And then it wasn't until like, yeah, early 20s and... especially when I started writing my cookbook, that was when the comic bug really bit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read like, I think I read something like 30 different Batman trades in a month.
Wow.
Yeah. I would just do I borrowed everything I could from friends. I think I borrowed like the one Batman book that your boyfriend had, which was Hush, which is one of my least favorite Batman stories of all time. But I know Jim Lee did the artwork on it and that's why he had it.
That's great.
So yeah, Batman in like my early 20s. And then, I think... It proper, like, as soon as I expanded out to Marvel, because getting into Marvel is so much more daunting than DC, I think, because everyone knows which trades to recommend you when it comes to DC, but Marvel's so much more connected.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I, you know, I think I read, like, Fractions, Iron Man Run, and stuff like that, that's when I probably got, like, really hooked. And I remember I bought an iPad specifically so I could read Comixology, and then I started texting Nate more and more questions about, I guess, like superhero comics and stuff like that. He's like, yo, are you really getting into this now? And I was like, yeah. He's like, that's the best. And then like, it just kept like, basically like every time I visited him at King's, he'd add another book to my stack. And then I met you. Mm-hmm. And then I had someone who loved the almost exact same kind of comics that I liked.
Mm.
And you were just like this endless source of knowledge of like comics that I wanted to know more about. And so we would always go to Nate lived with my friend Mitch at the time. I mean, we used to always have these big Sunday kind of cook-ups at which we called the Mitchin, in his kitchen. And now I'm going to end up my food cook-ups after that era. And and you and I would always like be like, okay, cool. I've been here for 10 minutes. We've talked about rap for a bit. Now it's fine for me to just like, just lock Siobhan in the corner and like just ask her nothing but comic book related questions until I have to leave.
That was nice for me. I was like, ah, cool. These people seem intimidatingly cool. At least someone wants to talk about comics.
There's my errors.
Right. Well, for me, I've probably talked extensively about this, but as a child, it was Tintin and Archie all the way throughout my sort of an author that I haven't actually spoken about because it's not comic book related, but who is probably like the most important voice in my sort of childhood was Diana Wynne Jones, who wrote a whole bunch of fantasy books, which Nate is not impressed at how big my collection is of these sort of like preteen fantasy books, but she's probably like she's beloved by Neil Gaiman. Howl's Moving Castle, the Studio Ghibli movie, is based on her book, and the book is like infinitely better than the movie, and her books mean a huge amount to me, and I've just started reading Howl's Moving Castle to Baby Shatterstar because it means a lot to me. And then when I was a teenager, I just remember this as we were talking, but when I was a teenager, about 13, when I had a terrible mullet,
Pics, please.
Yeah, that no pictures exist. I've made sure of that. I was really into like girl manga, like really girly manga, like Tokyo Mew Mew. And there was this one called like Peach or something, which a friend of mine got out from the library and it was really dirty. And we were like, hee hee. One called like INVU, which was all about models and stuff like that. Like just weird shit that when I found it in my parents' house, I was like, what? I can't believe I used to read this. And then once I turned 14 and I had a job for myself, I started buying single issue superhero comics. And for me, Teen Titans was like the gateway. So I just got whatever was available at the newsagents near my high school. And that was like Cassandra Cain Batgirl issues, random Justice League issues, and Teen Titans. And Teen Titans was the first thing that I collected in its entirety. I started going into King's. I discovered that you could buy things in trade. And I bought all of Geoff Johns' Teen Titans run and then Infinite Crisis and The Outsiders and all that sort of stuff. And then out of high school. Oh, yeah. And then in like late teens, I probably started reading like a lot of Vertigo. I read Transmetropolitan and that was a big influence on me. at that time. And probably the only reason I got hired at King's was because straight after school, I was 17, I went into King's and they were like, so what do you read? And I was being asked by like Jim and Cara and all these like old school King's people. And I was like, I really like Transmetropolitan. And Jim was like, hire her immediately. And I was like, great, that's excellent.
So there you go. If anyone wants to be hired at a comic book store, be a wanker.
Yeah, totally. Just tell Jim what he wants to hear.
Savage Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. If someone said, I like Savage Dragon, Jim would hire them so quickly.
He'd fire everyone else and only hire you.
And then I was at King's and I just read everything. And got really into superhero comics. And now I'm sort of going back and reading more manga and stuff like that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Does that answer the question?
That's a great question. Great question. Great way to kick it off. As you can tell, it's going to be very much getting in depth, getting to know us a bit more. Brian O'Connell asks, with the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, what other lower tier heroes and villains should get the TV or film treatment? Dial H for Hero could be very cool. I think a Roger Rabbit type series for Liberty Meadows would be fantastic. A Legion of Superhero series. I could go on and on and on. Anything spring to mind, Shinbone?
I mean, I think Legion of Superheroes would be cool, but it's a bit hard.
Well, they're kind of doing the Sci-Fi Channel been doing Krypton. I feel like any of those,
really?
Like, yeah.
Whoa, I had no idea that existed.
It's not about Legion. It's all about like Krypton before the Superman stuff, before it's a crumbling society.
Right.
So it's like at its height heyday. I don't know. I'm the hard sci-fi stuff never, like super high concept, never really appeals to me that much.
I also don't think it's really hard to translate onto screen. Like you have so much creative freedom within the comic book world. I think something like Checkmate could work really well. I think that this is going to come up in a question later on. Mm-hmm. Because I think someone else referenced it. But Checkmate is a sort of government team within the sort of superhero world. I think that could be a concept that works quite well on TV or in film. I don't really know. Just looking at my shelf. What else?
There was a Boom series called Backstages a while ago, which is all about a bunch of boys and working in a drama society at a high school. I loved that. I think it would be an amazing Cartoon Network series.
Yep.
I think a lot of the Boom properties. Like, I'm surprised there isn't a Lumberjanes show yet.
Yeah, I am really surprised by that.
I mean, I think a lot of the superhero stuff, as soon as you try and tie it into the bigger superhero world, like a lot of the, like Marvel really suffers when, you know, the TVs can reference it because it kind of is in the same world, but not really. And But I think, you know, Legion really worked because it was completely separated from everything that had come before it.
Yeah.
And had like a vague reference to mutants. That's about it.
I think if they did an all ages Shazam series, that could work really well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't like the idea of doing like a really gritty Shazam Captain Marvel movie, which is, I think, what DC are planning to fit in with the rest of their sort of grim, dark cinematic universe. But I think it would work way better if it was a fun all ages series.
Yeah, totally. Lower tier doesn't mean street level.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy certainly wasn't. But
just like less well known.
More space stuff in general. I love space stuff.
Hmm.
Tom Ragg asks, which would you rather, Rick Moranis shrinking you and three heroes of your choice for a backyard adventure, or embiggening only yourself to crush a town of your choice? First of all, which is your favorite of the Honey, I Shrunk the / Honey, I Blew Up the...
I've never seen any of them. Nate keeps trying to get me to watch them because they were childhood movies of his, and I just... I don't like Rick Moranis.
No,
he weirds me out or something.
From a
position of ignorance, like I find him a weird, icky little man, and I don't want to watch anything he's been involved in. But I don't want to watch it.
But he's not a creep in
IRL. I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's lovely.
Didn't you love him? Was he endearing in Ghostbusters to you?
I'm not a big Ghostbusters fan. It's all right. Ghostbusters is fine.
All right. what about Parenthood?
I don't know what that is.
No. He's great in Parenthood. I've even seen Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which is a ride you can go on, or you could have gone on at the Epcot Center.
Cool.
Disney World.
That sounds cool.
That was my favorite, I think. Because at one point, like, a bunch of rats get let into the audience, and it's interactive,
horrible.
This thing, like, waves around at your feet,
horrible.
And you're like, oh my God, it's rats.
That sounds horrible.
Look, I would love to be enormous and smash a town.
That'd be what town? Great. What town would you smash?
Browra.
Good. I would like to be shrunk. Because that seems fun. I like the Borrowers. That seems fun.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Denim Harry asks, what are the books that you just keep rereading? Are there any great books that you think get better every time you read them? How big are your collections?
Yeah, that's a lot of questions. My collection is pretty big.
collection is also pretty big. It's like, okay, Siobhan has like, let's say three shelves, and two shelves of them are comics.
Yep. Agreed.
I have about four shelves and three of them are comics.
Nice.
And I have about 12 short boxes full of single issues now.
We really downsized our collections when we moved because we were having a baby. And so we only have a couple of short boxes left, but there is two more bookshelves in another room that right. have mostly comics on them as well.
Okay,
well,
there you go.
As
far as like books that I always reread, this podcast has hampered my ability to do that, which is, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. I rarely go, I wish I could reread that. I'm very much, I don't really rewatch things very often anymore.
No.
I think music is the only media that I listen to or what, you know,
revisit.
I read DC The New Frontier pretty much every year, and that I think it's not so much that it gets better, it's just that I long for more of it each time I read it because I feel like that there's less and less like it each time I read it.
I do appreciate something new about it every single time I read it, though.
Yeah, 100%. That's probably my favorite.
For me,
comic.
Pluto.
Oh,
I
yeah.
reread Fuck, I need to pretty constantly. I reread that probably once a year as well. Prince of Cats, I reread all the time.
Oh, so good.
And that
by
just
Ron
gets
Wimbley.
Better
yep.
all the time.
Actually, that's another one I reread recently too.
And 52, I read all the time because it's just, I like it.
Yeah, 52 is great.
It's just real good.
52 is so good. Isn't it funny that, I mean, I'll probably reread The Vision, Tom King's The Vision at some point soon because I love that so much. And I've always wanted to reread all of Jonathan Hickman's, do the entire thing.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Entire Fantastic Four, Avengers and New Avengers. I started to reread all of Grant Morrison's Batman stuff, I got into like the first trade, and I was like, "Oh, that's right." And I will do it at some point because I have it all. I may as well reread it.
Might as well.
So Robert Headley asks, "What non-comic series should get a comic?" I have an answer for this straight away.
Oh, go for it.
The Venture Brothers, which is my favorite TV show. It's a cartoon on Adult Swim. It's got like it's written. Every episode is written by the same two writers. Who created it. They do most of the voices as well. So, like, there is massive gaps. Massive, like, you know, like 3 years between seasons. Mm. And I think a nice way to tide people like me over who are desperate for more of it is to give us a comic. I think it lends itself to comic, even if it's just, like, backstories for these crazy superheroes or people within the universe to get, you know, little adventures from. Or even just, like, a piss take of what a comic book is because there are characters in this world that have had comic books that are based on them. I just want as much from this world as possible. Dark Horse are doing a Venture Brothers art book later in the year, so hopefully that leads to them doing comics as well.
Cool.
Also, Zelda. I know there's Zelda
there
manga,
Zelda comics.
But I would love, like, a
serious high fantasy.
No, fuck, yeah. That's the thing. Zelda is, like, the one fantasy thing that I love. I've spoken about this on HeyFam before, but yeah, like elves, I fucking hate elves. But for whatever reason, the fact that Link is an elf is completely
totally
fine to me. Mm. I miss the, like, even though they're so bad, like the Mario cartoons, I would love I would love Nintendo comics. Nintendo comics and Venture Brothers comics. Funnily enough, there's a Zelda art book out through Dark Horse too.
Mm.
So Dark Horse, please make my dreams come true. Give me Nintendo and Venture Brothers comics.
I'm going to, because we're doing this in my lounge room, so I'm just looking at my bookshelves. Something super left of field, but I love P.G. Woodhouse, the sort of 1930s, like aristocratic, whimsical books he wrote. Like, he was super prolific, but he did Jeeves and Wooster. So, like, the concept of Jeeves the butler, that's where that comes from.
Oh, right.
And there was a TV series starring Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie that they did in, like, the late 80s, I reckon. All about them. And it's like Bertie Wooster is this really, like, idiot aristocrat. And then his butler Jeeves is, like, just tidying after him all the time and, like, making sure that he doesn't get married because women are terrible and all that kind of stuff. And I would like to see a comic book version of that, please.
Awesome. Joshua Isaac Schweitzer asks, are there any characters you love only as adaptations, e.g. loving The Mask as a movie but disliking the comic?
I liked the Kick-Ass movie way more than I liked the comic.
That's true, the first one.
Yeah, the first one. I didn't watch the second one.
yeah, I'll go with that one too. Mm. I'll think on that. That's a hard one.
I also, controversial, but the Tintin animated series, the French-Canadian one, that is more important to me almost than the comics.
Really?
Like, Hergé is obviously a total master, but that theme song plays in my head all the time because my dad taped it all off TV. Yep. And like the way that he says things, me and my sisters just quote it randomly at each other all the time. So that's you, probably something that I like more in adaptation.
Were you a fan of the mocap movie they did?
Not heaps. I liked it. I liked what they tried to do with it. And they did some cool things. But yeah, I didn't think it didn't live up to the promise.
I think The Mask is a movie that I like to remember fondly rather than revisit it.
Don't rewatch it.
I liked the Max cartoon series, but I've never been able to get into the Max comic book. There you go. Rebecca Hart asks, has anyone ever made you change your mind about a comic or comic run? So made you go back and love one you dismissed as not for you, or made you dislike one you liked previously? If so, give details. Yes, Siobhan, every single episode pretty much. Like often, constantly. Oftentimes I'll like just most recently it's called like somebody's names, Frankenstein.
Yep. Victor Laval, something like that.
I was ready to be like, Destroyer. I wasn't into this at all. And then you said loved how much you liked it and specifically pointed out like a few things that I hadn't really missed or I'd glossed over when I was thinking back on it. I was like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Mm.
And so like oftentimes I'll have my opinion change before I even get to say my opinion, which is helpful.
It's good.
Better than going backtracking and being like, actually, I liked it.
This happens to me all the time. Things that I've massively dismissed as a child and then gone back and read as an adult and really, really enjoyed. I can't think of any specific examples, but it does happen all the time.
And I think in the position that we're in, like sometimes when you get in a moment where it's like, you know, you've got five more comics left and it becomes a bit of a chore to kind of speed read them, you are a bit more flippant and kind of like write something off. And then when you revisit it, you're like, oh, wait, this is actually good shit.
Mm.
It doesn't happen very often. But
I think a notable one that comes up all the time on the Facebook group is Identity Crisis, that DC event we're all about sort of Elongated Man.
And
it was sort of like this big turning point in the DC universe where things became a bit more gritty and a bit more unpleasant for a long time. And I loved that when I read that as a teenager, and then sort of going back and rereading it, going like, I still have a lot of affection for it, but there's a lot about it that's no good and that makes me quite uncomfortable.
Yep.
So that's probably a notable example.
Yeah, definitely. I feel the same way about it too. Stephen Whitehead asks, flight or invisibility?
Flight.
For sure. This was recently two options that you could have voted for in a Splatoon, the video game challenge. And I think invisibility lost quite significantly. So Stephen Whitehead has another question. More seriously, is the direct market dying? Would it be a good thing if it did? So by direct market, I guess he means what? Comic book stores, Diamond.
Yeah.
Physical copies.
I mean, I think it's a bad thing because I think part of the joy of, and I mean, obviously I'm heavily biased having worked in a comic book store since I was 17 and I love.
But you worked in a comic book store because you love comic book stores.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's not really biased.
And there's like, I think that some, like comic books as they exist can be quite isolating as a hobby. Because it is something that's created in isolation and enjoyed in isolation, and comic book stores and the direct market allow you to interact with other human beings. And I do mean this quite seriously. There have been customers who I've known at King's, and there is an element to which you go, oh, I'm the only person that you've spoken to today. And that can, you know, you can be quite flippant with that and make fun of it, but like, it was nice being someone for people to talk to and to go like, oh, this is quite, you know, a niche hobby. Here's someone who I can actually interact with about it. And a comic book store, like when I went away and worked in advertising for a year, I didn't realize how much that meant to me to be able to have people to talk to about this. And so I think that I would be really sad if the direct market collapsed. And I think that would be a really bad thing. I mean, I think it would be great if Diamond, if there was a competitor to Diamond, because they are allowed to run roughshod across comic book stores. But I think that I think it would be a real shame if comic book stores disappeared.
I think from a sales point of view and from a publishing point of view, like there are some things that I'd like to see change. Like I hate that, you know, so many titles that I love get cancelled because they don't sell the issues needed to sell in single format, but then, you know, maybe they'll get a cult following and trade.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely.
You know, maybe they're doing really well digitally and like no one's ever really upfront about those sales figures, or they don't factor in as prominently as physical ones do. And I'm sure digital sell an enormous amount now, and like why it isn't included in that Well, you know, we don't know for sure if people do or don't, but...
But I think there's a weird thing that I find, like, where we live in this time, we live in this era of, like, Netflix, where you just get all of this content all the time, and there's an element to which people feel like they deserve it. And I think with comics, there's such a direct line to the creators, and people have this, like, attitude of, like, oh, I deserve to read all of these comics all the time, and so I should get them digitally, and I should get them at the cheapest price. And people have put their time and hearts and souls into this work, and they don't see a huge return on their investment for what they're putting into it. And so I think that people should purchase more sensibly and maybe take stock of what they're actually buying. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Organize your lives.
But just like, buy with intention, buy with purpose, buy ethically, you know, like purchase things that you believe in and that you love. Like I get Short Box 4 times a year, despite the fact that it costs an enormous amount of money for me to get it from the UK, but it's supporting creators and artists that I like and a vibe in comics that I support. So just do that, guys. Don't buy everything. You don't need everything. You don't need every Batman comic that's ever been written. But if you buy something...
And like, yeah, ignore events. Yeah. Events are the first things to go on sale.
Yeah.
Read them later.
Yeah. They don't matter that much.
Jim from Kings asks, why do we drive in a parkway but park in a driveway?
Because fuck you, Jim.
Good answer. Jordan Edwards asks, what's a comic you thought was stupid but eventually came to love? I can't think of a comic, but I guess the entire concept of Batman I thought was stupid.
Yes, not superheroes so, no, in general.
I loved the animated series of Batman, actually. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I first saw the first... Both, actually, not like Batman Begins and Batman The Dark Knight. I thought it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get past...
Because it is ridiculous in that context.
I know. I couldn't get past his voice, and I just thought they were really dumb movies. And it wasn't until Angus watched them with me again after I'd stolen half his collection that I was like, oh, wait, these are great. These are actually really great movies.
Mm. There's a lot of stuff that I like made fun of that now I sort of still make fun of, but kind of love, like really terrible, dirty, porny comics like Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, which is awful, but like it is what it is, and that's kind of fun.
Mm.
Maybe something like that.
Shiji Adima, I hope that's how you pronounce your name. In fact, he's made jokes on our group about one day you're going to have to pronounce your name and I'm going to laugh. So I hope you get a kick out of that. He's asked, have you ever wanted to write a comic book of your own? If so, what about? Or have you ever wanted to write for an already existing character? If so, about who and what story would you like to tell?
I mean, I'm shockingly uncreative. So I haven't really ever considered writing. Like, I have considered writing a comic book, but I have no ideas. So that's where that ends.
I'm 3/4 of the way through my first ever junior fiction book.
Ooh.
Which I'm submitting to a publisher very soon.
It's very exciting.
And it is about, it's a superhero. It's the start of what I hope to be a big superhero universe that I get to write for kids. And I hopefully turn into comics at some point.
That'd be awesome.
There are some characters in it. Like, I just came up with like the silliest character ever. He is like the Oracle type figure.
Mm-hmm.
He has the superpowers. So basically he drops his phone in the toilet.
Nice.
And then soaks it in rice.
Yep.
So it absorbs all the water.
Mm-hmm.
But then he eats the rice.
Oh, gross.
And so he gets the superpowers of a phone.
I thought you were going to say the superpowers of a toilet.
No. And his name is iTone.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Name.
His name's
Sony. Yeah, yeah.
That's so good.
I think like, you know, these things, like I like... Because it's in the context of a kid's book, you can do very silly things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like another girl has bubble powers because she drank Mentos and Diet Coke at the same time.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, the main character is about a boy who he refuses to eat vegetables, but he learns that when he does eat them, he gets superpowers based on the vegetable he eats. It's all
so it's
eating
much,
powers.
It's just Popeye?
Yeah, sure. Popeye and Chew. But yeah, I would love to write. I guess, you know, the idea of writing for a character that I'm a fan of, like, that just seems too impossible.
It's too intimidating.
But I have my own dumb stories. I actually used to write and draw my own shitty comics.
Yeah.
I have a few issues of them. I should try and unearth them and put them up somewhere. Dominic Doncic. I bet I fucked that up too. Sorry.
Nice.
Which non-superpowered superhero would win an eating contest?
Non-superpowered superhero?
So, like, a comic book character that doesn't have superpowers.
Like Batman.
Like, or, like... Like Jughead.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Jughead.
Jughead.
Although, Jughead issue 200, which was published a couple of years ago, had this whole, the whole story arc, and it was so good, was about how Jughead's, like, metabolism is magic. Mm-hmm. And someone, and an evil witch took his metabolism away and he got really fat. It was really good. So he kind of does have a superpower. It's his metabolism.
Yeah, there's one right answer to that question.
Yeah, it's Jughead. Okay.
Dustin Douglas asks, if you could have a one-on-one dinner and brain-picking session with any creator from any era, who would it be? I bet we're both going to say Jack Kirby, right?
No.
I would love to hear someone complain about how hard making comics is in the 40s. And like,
yeah, Jack Kirby really had it tough. I think maybe it's a toss-up. I feel like Jack Kirby, by reading his work, it's like having a dinner with him. I think he puts a lot out there. Same thing with Osamu Tezuka. I would be interested to talk to him, but he just was such a hard worker that everything I think he possibly could have said he put into his work. I think maybe Grant Morrison. I think that would be a fun meal.
Angus, I keep bringing him up in this podcast, but he's met Grant Morrison.
Really?
And Grant Morrison's wife, who he based his version of Emma Frost on.
Was it weird?
He said it was very, very, it was very charming.
Oh, that's nice.
He came in and did like some Triple J stuff.
I've heard some funny stories about Grant Morrison from Nicola Scott.
I would love to have dinner, but just truly from a fly on the wall, with Alan Moore and Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
And they can just cast spells at each other and, and curse each other's entrees.
That would be fun. I would enjoy that.
Good question, Dustin. And he asked two more. If everyday life was recorded by your, was recolored by your favorite colorist, who would it be and why?
Oh.
I love how pink and wonderful all of Tamara Bonvian's colors are.
That would be lovely.
I think just because that would be unbelievable, I would pick her.
I think Jordie Blair makes everything and everyone look better, so I would like to be colored by Jordie Blair.
Dustin's final question for now is, who is being commissioned to do the self-portrait of you hanging in your evil lair?
Oh, man. I wish I'd looked at these earlier so I could have thought this through.
Who draws
Ron Wimberly? Probably Ron Wimberly.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
You know that it's like one of the early issues of Saga where Fiona Staples draws this like this hideous beast with this disgusting big ball sack.
Oh, yeah.
I want me with a big disgusting ball sack by Fiona Staples.
That would be horrifying. Yeah, when someone's there, you'd be like, oh fuck, I'm gonna die.
Yeah. This guy's gonna kill me with his balls. Luke Krausen asks, or Croson, see, I fuck up white. I fuck up everybody's last name. What is your favorite 90s comic run?
Ooh.
Starman.
Oh, yeah.
By James Robinson.
See, I'm dumb because I'll get 90s and early 2000s confused.
They're the same thing.
Grant Morrison's Justice League, maybe?
That's definitely 90s. Luke. Oh, God. Luke Ossivort.
Nice.
I should have just done a disclaimer. I'm going to fuck up everyone's last names today. Enjoy. How much of Hawkman is Hawk? 50%. His wings are pretty big.
What's his dick? Does he have a hawk dick?
Is a hawk, what does a hawk dick look like? Is it like,
I don't know.
You know, some birds have like that weird like spirally dick.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Corkscrew dick.
Horrifying. Because he just puts on wings, right? The wings aren't attached to him.
And dick. And he puts on a hawk dick.
He puts on wings, a hat, and a dick.
Okay, he's 69% hawk. Rick Gentusa asks, kebabs or snack packs? Kebabs.
Kebabs.
It's a complete meal. You get your vegetable content in there.
Absolutely. And
snack packs are great, but so is just chips. Like, that's why they're great. And it's just like, you got to be somewhat responsible.
Yeah.
And the small amount of tabbouleh on a kebab is responsible enough.
Absolutely. I think you have to be like a teen with a teen's metabolism for a snack pack to be acceptable.
Which Rick could well be.
He's not. He's a customer of Kings. He's not a teen anymore.
He's 100 years old. What percentage of Hawk is he? if you had chance to sit down, crack open a cold one and chill out with any comic creator past and present, why would it be Rob Liefeld?
It fucking would be Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Rob Liefeld seems so like endearing. A genuine dude. Yeah. He seems nice and like, I think that's why he keeps getting work.
I also want to see what his feet look like.
Yes, I do.
Luke Ossivort asked another one. Who would win a fight between Baby Shatterstar and Levins' child, hereby referred to as Levsborn?
Which one, though?
I know, I've got two children. I say Archie and Matilda's name all the time, too.
Yeah, because I think I would not I would put money on Matilda.
Yeah, Matilda is feisty.
Yeah, she is like, but like smiling, she would like gouge your eyes out, but smiling all the time.
Assuming time magic it used to make Shatterstar and Lev spawn the same age.
I mean, Shatterstar has those sweet swords.
Oh, so... really? You guys, Shatterstar has swords? Oh, it was in like the character of Shatterstar. Yeah, right.
So he would win.
It's something to ask Rod Liefeld, I think. Brayden Greenslade asks, can I have the question answer a question so then you're answering a question with a question?
Yes.
Like the character of the question. So Siobhan's going to do her best question impersonation for the next question.
Oh, no. I didn't realize I was...
Which is, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
I'm not doing that.
Okay, great. Good answer. Who is your favorite supervillain and why is it Kite Man?
It's not Kite Man. I genuinely think that Lex Luthor might be the best supervillain.
Lex Luthor and Doctor Doom are my tied first because they are, what's the word when they're neither good nor evil?
Oh, God.
We both know it. We both say it on the podcast constantly.
Yep.
I think there's so much you can do. I'm literally Googling neither good nor evil.
That's bad. Lex Luthor is so... You can understand where he's coming from, but then he does something that's so horrifyingly evil that it just makes you go like, oh, I trusted you. I trusted you momentarily. And that's the sickest burn
of
them all.
Fuck, this sucks. I can't believe I can't really think of this word. They're like...
Anti-hero.
No, it's not the word I was looking for. It's a word to describe someone who you don't know their intentions of.
Yeah. We'll never know.
We'll never know, ever, until next time I say it. And they're like, that's the fucking word. So we have another one from Brayden here. He says, "What do you think you could stomach Green Arrow's chili? Note, only he and Batman have ever swallowed it without seeing the light." Yes, I once did a hot wing eating competition at my restaurant, The Dip, in which we got the hottest hot sauce in the world, which is like an insane Scoville unit.
Oh, my God.
That's how they measure heat.
Yeah.
And people had to... People traditionally, we didn't because we're unprofessional, have to sign a waiver that you know what you're doing to yourself. We had 3 people pass out at my restaurant and we ran out of milk to give people. So I had to break open 2 4-liter casks of cream.
What?
So people were just in my restaurant guzzling cream. Anyway, I ate it numerous times throughout the week and I was fine. I could do it.
Yeah, I could not. I have a delicate tum-tum. But Kings have done... a couple of times a hot wing challenge, so I'm gonna have to find out what that sauce is.
Yeah, I'll get it. You would touch it. So the first time I had it, I put it on my finger and I ate it, and I was like, oh my God, my eyes are watering, so I wiped my eye, but I wiped the chili sauce into my eye.
Wow.
And I was just on the floor just going like
Wayne is the funniest because he instigates all of these like hot sauce challenges, but he cannot take it.
He's like,
and he just cries.
That little
it's
kitten
so
that just wants to fight other cats.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it.
And funnily enough, number 5 that Brayden asks is, what is Wayne's greatest pain?
Chili, there is a video of him crying on the King's Instagram, I think. You can probably find it. It was very funny.
Rebecca
it was after
Hart,
Free Comic Book Day.
Rebecca Hart asks, which novelist would you like to see try a comic?
Ooh.
Chaucer.
I think Salman Rushdie could do something really interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That would be fun. If she hadn't passed away, I would love to see Diana Wynne Jones.
Roald Dahl.
Do a comic. Yeah.
A Roald Dahl comic world would be unbelievable.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because he never did superpowers. He always did like these magic powers and stuff like that. But imagine if he had to imagine his version of the Justice League or like his version of like a shield that had to keep all the powers that all his kids had in
all
check.
All naughty children who are going to be punished for being naughty. He hated children.
He did. Reynaldo Gizmondo asked, with a lot of talk about plummeting sales in comics, admittedly focused on the big 2, what are your thoughts on the current health of the comic book industry? Bad strategy with number 1s, more comics in libraries. How would you improve the industry to make it the absolute success it should be? Kind of touched on this earlier.
Yeah.
I think the constant renumbering is like not as big an issue as everyone says it is. It certainly is an issue, but most of the comics are still good. I guess it just discourages grumpy old men to not read them.
Yeah. I am concerned about the comic book industry currently. I think that we could be heading towards another big bust period.
Really?
I hope not.
Why?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Just because...
Nice burp. That is your first burp in the podcast.
I'm so sorry, but I got away.
Blame it on Nate. That's definitely what I do.
I just think that, like, it was doing so well for so long, and we just couldn't maintain that level of sales and interest. And I think that as the cinematic universes expand, people are finding less and less reason to read comics because they're like, oh, well, I just like the movies, so I'm just going to watch the movies. That's great. I think that we're going to start to see more standalone graphic novels, and I think that's a good call. I think that the way people consume stuff now, there's less of an interest in getting a monthly comic, and people just want to get get the full story, and they want to binge it. So I think that that's probably a better way for things to go. People have been saying for years that, like, singles are out and it's just going to be all graphic novels. And I don't think that that's true, but I think that Marvel could downsize significantly and put more money into better creative teams and getting the same creative team to get through a whole run, and that would be a good thing.
I think less people should spend less time saying comics are dead and that things are a problem, and just fucking focus on the things they like instead.
Absolutely.
And direct more people to the comics that they think are good.
Yeah.
That will boost sales too.
Yeah, you get more people reading comics and more all ages stuff as well, because like all ages comics are doing well, you know?
Lynn from Kings
asks,
if you had to get a writer to name your next child, who would you entrust with this responsibility?
Oh my God. That's such a good question.
Yeah, it's a good, amazing one. Rob Liefeld.
Obviously. For all of my children. I mean, you want Stanley to do it because he's done some of the best and the most notable ones.
You don't want, especially if you're a person of color, Jack Kirby to do it because he'd just name you like Black Baby.
We actually have a toy called Black Baby that was like mine growing up. And it's just like a life-size, anatomically correct, really dark-skinned boy baby. We just called him Black Baby. So
you're all Kirby's.
Because I'm all racist.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. The early 90s.
I don't know to answer that seriously. I don't know. Brian K. Vaughan.
Yep.
Lying Good. Baby. Daniel Smith asks, which comics do offend Siobhan Coombs?
Ooh! Things
Scooby?
That are just,
Scooby Apocalypse?
Yeah, Scooby Apocalypse. Things that are just bad. Things that... what's his name? Who just did the Divided States of Hysteria?
Howard Chaykin.
Howard Chaykin offends me. Just because, even just saying that out loud, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever said. And I hate that.
Brian O'Connell asks, anyone notice that now that Shatterstar is here, Siobhan hasn't been as infatuated with comic book hero or villain crotches? Kind of funny. And I replied immediately with, that's not a question or true.
Yeah, I refute that strongly.
Vanny
I'll
Vance,
talk more about dicks if people want.
We did a lot of dick talk this week.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine. You're fine. We're good.
Cool, thanks.
Vanny Vance asks, how will you answer so many stupid questions?
Just like this.
Yep. Then she asked, Marvel or DC? The stupidest question of all. Both. It can be both.
Absolutely.
Never, don't choose an allegiance. That's dumb. They're just by people that do are just ignoring so many good things from the other publisher. And that's also, there's more than just two.
Yeah.
Read everything if you can. Try to. Then her final question is, are you regretting the questions don't have to be comic book related decision yet? No.
Cool. This needs to be going fine.
Scott Taft asks, why does Diamond suck so bad when it comes to distributing, and why hasn't another company come in and contested their reign?
They suck so much because there is no one contesting their reign, and other companies have tried, but they it would take such a huge amount of money to be able to start that off, because Diamond have the distribution rights for everything, for all comics that get sent to every comic book store in the Western English-speaking world. So you would need a huge amount of capital to be able to try and compete with them. And so many companies have come and gone trying to do that, and they've not been able to do it. It sucks.
Wow, this just in. Diamond, not a girl's best friend.
That was fun because I could see you getting really excited to say that.
True dad style. Yeah. Tom Grant Ellis asks, which Lantern Corps of your choice would you be in?
I'd be in the Pink Lanterns because I'm a girl and I love love.
I'm going to make up my own one. And the emotion associated mm-hmm. with it is sarcasm.
Nice.
When the color is green, light green, like a lime green.
Yeah.
So you're like from afar, you're like, fuck, I'm in trouble.
Oh, it's the Green Lanterns.
It's the Green Lanterns, yes. And you get there and it's like, oh no, it's the sarcastic ones. And they're like, yeah, I'll help you tomorrow. Like, just like real shit. Just like, and whenever they show up in a book, you're like, fuck, it's the sarcastic Green Lanterns again.
That's so annoying.
It's such a hard emotion to put in writing.
I'm into it.
Daniel asks me, which comic book is actually the best?
Which comic book is
it changes
best.
Week to week.
Yeah.
It could be Stray Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Aberrato.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any number of books I say is the best. Yeah. The best is not an ultimate thing. That's why I use it so flippantly. I think I make up for everyone else's negativity by giving out extra positivity. That's in my world, anyone and everyone can be the best at some point. Isn't that lovely?
That's beautiful.
Shane Bennett, favorite sandwich fillings?
Ooh. I don't know.
My wife used to have a website called Sandwich Face, which you can visit. It's Sandwich.
No way.
I don't know. Maybe the domain expired. Hopefully it didn't. Sandwichface.com. It used to be a friend of hers bought her the domain.
That's really fun. Was it just like sandwich reviews?
Yeah. Oh, no, we would just make sandwich and she'd take a photo and then we put it up.
Oh, that's really nice.
Oh, the domain lapsed, everyone.
Oh, that sucks.
But maybe it's on Tumblr. But I am a big fan. I'm all about the balance. I don't understand people that are like, you know, oh man, sandwichface.tumblr.com is for some reason a Marvel Tumblr now.
Whoa, that's weird.
That's very strange. I don't know. Try and find my wife's old website. Maybe it's in the Wayback Machine. There's some good sandwiches on there. If you want to see my attempts at cooking before I had a restaurant, there's some fun ideas in there.
Oh, that's fun.
But I am a massive, I think you got to balance the meat
mm-hmm.
with the veg.
Yep.
You need the freshness. And then it's an Australian thing. This is not shared by many Americans who are very big, you know.
Just meat.
Cheese and meat and sauce. Yeah. That's it. That's a sandwich. That's you're done.
Man, you know what sandwich I had when we were in San Francisco recently? And I think about it a lot because it was like an avocado sandwich. And I was like, that sounds boring, but I'm going to get it. And then it was like heaps of avocado plus like a spicy sauce and really crunchy chips. And it was fucking delicious.
Great. Amazing. I'm also a big fan of the insane. I just said against this, but sometimes a tiny amount of pickle and mustard is all you need to balance meat. And I'm a massive fan of an insanely big Jewish Reuben as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we don't, like, where Australia is terrible at that.
Yep.
I don't know why we have a massive Jewish community, but it's very hard to get like Katz Deli style food.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? Lagner's Deli.
But yeah, something like pickled. Is pretty
yeah, pickles. Pickles are the best sandwich filling.
Yeah,
put a pickle on your sandwich.
Delicious.
Or the pickle juice you sprinkle them over, mm-hmm. Hannibal Buress style.
Mm.
Alex Gardner asks, who wrote the best run of Moon Knight?
I mean, I've probably not read enough Moon Knight to really say anything.
We haven't given them a shout out yet, but two of our favorite listeners, Connor and Ray, who have both asked us questions so far in this episode, started an excellent podcast all about Moon Knight. They are the Moon Knight experts. It's called Into the Night.
That's a very good name for Moon Knight.
K-N-I-G-H-T, which I've listened to. It's a really fun podcast. And they totally met just because of serious issues, which
it's
I think
so
is
cute.
Really, really sweet.
I love that.
So definitely ask them who wrote the best run on Moonlight because they'd know better than us. But from what
of
I've
the
read,
two I've read,
I've read about four different runs, and my favorite by far was the Warren Ellis Declan Shalvey six issue. I love one shots, and yeah. every one of those issues was a one shot.
That was good.
He also asked, what is your least favorite recurring thing you see that comic? Oh, wow. I love this question. What is your least favorite recurring thing that you see that comics customers repeatedly do?
Ooh, comics customers.
I can ask this because I don't actually have any allegiance to Kings really beyond this podcast, and I'm not really offending anyone. And the most awful thing that comic book customers repeatedly do is not wearing deodorant.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, the smells.
Yeah.
The fucking smells. If you're listening right now and you read comics and don't wear deodorant, just
Come on, guys.
Drop one comic once a month and buy a stick of deodorant or shower, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is about comic book readers and their decision to that smelling is okay.
It is a rough thing, especially like in Australia, we get very hot summers, and sometimes the store is not a fun place to be. And I get to work out the back mostly now, and I'll walk out and go like, whew, okay, I'm going back out the back.
And like, you know, comic book stores, they're a store that you're not in for, you know, a short amount of time. You're in there for a while. You want to find the perfect book for you. And I you know, you hear that, you know, bullshit like, you know, nerd culture bashing where, you know, oh, the annoying conversations or the blah, blah, that's fine. That you see, like, you know, the King stuff, I see put up with some pretty insane conversations, but the smell is fucked up, man.
Also, don't hit on female staff members.
No, that's true, too. Especially if you stink.
That's annoying.
Daniel Smith with another one. Do either Levins or Siobhan or even any of the King staff own a working VCR?
Are you looking for one? I bet you fucking money that Scott Sheens does because I just bet he does.
Okay. My parents do because that's where all my old VHS tapes are.
Nice.
But I know I've never bought one. I have like two or three tapes that I held onto that you can't get anywhere else, like weird cult movies.
Cool.
But I probably just never watch them again.
Mm.
Ben Quinlan asks, what superhero would you least like to be married to?
Least like to be married to
Hal Jordan.
That's a fair call. He's away a lot. Wolverine, because he'd probably get amnesia and forget about me and kill me or something.
I just think, Green Lantern. Sorry, Hal Jordan's just so dull.
Yeah,
but then everyone would love me.
Yeah,
they're like Hal. Yeah, he's, you know, he's fine, but Flevins. Oh my god, what a character!
So fun. Oh my god.
What's the weirdest question the King staff have been asked?
Oh, man. There have been, like, the King staff used to keep a blog that was really funny that detailed all of the bizarre shit that used to come out.
Wayne has commented on this and said, it wasn't a question, but Gareth and I had a customer come in and complain about the manager at Games Paradise because she wouldn't refund a Ouija board he purchased because he said it didn't work. That's brilliant.
That's really good. There have been so many, but I just forget.
Gary Fisher. If you could bring back one title, what would it be and why? Gail Simone's Secret Six.
Yeah, because it was the best. Yep. End of story.
Alex Gartner. Would you ever consider doing a special episode about your top 10, 20, 30 favorite comics of all time? Because I just fucking love compartmentalizing and listing, and it would also be a great recommendations episode. Thanks for the show every week. It means a lot to someone with no friends, also interested in comics. Hey, that relates to something you spoke about earlier.
Yeah, that's nice.
I
have a hard time with lists.
What about best of the year? That could be. We do our awards, best of the year, right. But I think us doing one specifically about our favorite would be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
We also, I bought the 1,000 comics you must read.
Oh my god, I had a flick through that in the library the other day, and it's like, we are not going to have read 90%.
So I think over the course of a few episodes, I think it would be fun to try and go through that book and figure out how many we've read.
Yeah.
If we have any intention of reading them. All that kind of thing. That could be fun. Alex, we will keep your interest in mind. Gus Peterson asks, what are your favorite dark street level superhero stories? I like Bendis's Daredevil run a lot. But I actually especially love Brubaker's Daredevil run, which follows immediately on from that, where they're all in jail. Mm-hmm. And it's Daredevil and the Punisher in jail. I fucking love that story. That's maybe my favorite Daredevil story.
I think probably like a lot of the classic Batman stories where it's more like detective stuff.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Especially the 80s Batman. Batman in the 80s is like one of the few like Actually, no, a lot of 80s things are good.
Yeah, a lot of 80s.
But I love, I find like the, you know, we complain about the exposition stuff that in 80s comics, but it actually really works in Batman because he's a fucking detective.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for you. I miss the narration, the thought bubbles in Batman comics.
Absolutely.
I just would love one that scratched that itch for me and was like a proper detective book.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
We did a Batman episode and I specifically listed a few comics that were particularly good from the 80s that did that. But and also the Warren Ellis Moon Knight run as well was another good Dark Street level thing. Luke Ossivort again, which superhero would you like to see killed off permanently?
Ooh.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a firm believer that there's no bad characters. It's just, you know, bad writing.
Yeah.
So I think...
Harley Quinn.
Robert Headley, what's the comic that is the most for you?
Ooh.
So this is just a reworded, what's your favorite comic? And you hate that question. Why are you excited?
I know, but there's things that are just
for
like...
For you. Okay,
for
sure.
Me.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe Kate Beaton's strips are extremely for me because I studied history at university. I love a lot of things that she goes into in like great depth, like the little funny comics she does about like Jane Austen books or the Bronte sisters and stuff like that. That scratches a really specific itch for me. So they're very for me.
I think my immediate tastes change very quickly at the moment. All I want to do is read European comics or manga.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's what we get the least of and the small amounts, little taste of it. I'm like, oh, more, please.
Yep.
So at the moment, those.
Nice. I've got some stuff that I should lend you.
Yeah, definitely. I spent a lot of money in this sale, like $100 in the sale, just getting so much comics. It's great. I can't wait. Otto Cobra asks, who's your favorite letterer and what do you consider good lettering?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to be a total dick because I don't know that many letterers. And I know what an important part it is of comics. And I know it's such a vital element. But I'm just that dick who doesn't pay attention.
Well, I love Russ Wooton. Okay. He does all of Rick Remender's books at Image. I think he might do Walking Dead as well, actually. But I think Black Science has incredible lettering.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also did the lettering on Joe Casey's sex book, which is a brilliant lettering where instead of bolding the important words, that he would put color behind the important words in each.
Fun.
And it looks so great. I think that's Russ Wooton as well. But I think I think that's an amazing name. And so I paid attention whenever I saw his name on a book. He's probably my favorite letterer. He does mostly Image stuff.
Cool.
But they're great. Pierre Arnett asks, why can't Marvel get their events right? They're never on time and the landings never stick. I love DC and Marvel, but Marvel needs to get it together because I love it when I can talk about both of them, but with positivity.
I think it's a hard thing to do to, especially when they have so many books, to get the timings right and to do something that affects everything.
Sure. This goes out the window though, because Secret Empire was not delayed at all. And yet Generation started like 3 weeks before the final issue. Well, even like, 3 or 4 weeks before the final issue of Secret Empire. And so we were like, why the fuck are we getting these?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really frustrating. I don't know. I wish I could give you an answer. I think, if you want to be mad at people, be mad at the higher ups at Marvel.
Agreed.
I'm sure they have a very hard job, but that is like a massive oversight and it makes me really frustrated. Like, honestly, like delay your books.
Yeah.
Sell a little less in 1 month.
Never.
Get everyone excited for your books by ending the events properly. That would be much more preferable. But then you have, DC, I hate that they have those, like, the fifth week of the month is always, we'll just give them a bunch of annuals.
Yeah, that is annoying.
So, whatever. Philip McFarlane, would you rather have Tom King write an epic Image run or have Brian K. Vaughan write an event for one of the big two?
Oh.
They would be of the quality you would expect of the two, so no bad editor-publisher interference.
I think I would want to see a Brian K. Vaughan event.
I think so
that
too,
would be
because
really interesting.
Tom King did Sheriff of Babylon, which I think is him just doing whatever the fuck he wanted for Vertigo. So we've kind of already had that. Although I would love to see it. Like, imagine a Tom King book that went for as many issues as Saga has gone for so far.
That would be cool.
I want both of them is my cheating answer, but
I think a Brian K. Vaughan event would be really interesting.
But then beyond that though, like the only Brian K. Vaughan mainstream big two story I've ever liked is Runaways. And that was him doing his own thing anyway. So if he gets to do his own thing, Image style, but with Marvel or DC characters, I'm interested in that. But like he did The Oath by Doctor Strange, which is like okay.
And
then
it's
there's
good.
There's like he did a Superman arc and maybe a Wonder Woman one. I haven't really loved any of the big two stuff he's done.
Runaways is amazing, though.
Runaways is the best. So good. Richard Golgowski asks, you guys often made the comment, this will read better in trade. In fact, I think I made it like four times in the last episode. Do you think there'll be a time where creators would prefer to release their stories as trades instead of the single issue format? I think I would be in favor of this for writers such as Hickman and Remender. I know Joe Casey is now releasing Sex this way.
I think definitely that's the way that we're heading. You know,
also, just to interrupt you, I love the image of Joe Casey as like a big bad villain saying, release the sex!
That is good. That's a good image. I think that like the way that stories are being told now is much more in sort of six issue arcs, whereas in the past it was kind of more like you could jump on any issue and it was just this ongoing serial. So I think that we'll probably see more things being released in trade. I think it's a good call.
I think, yeah, especially for Hickman.
Especially for Hickman. Although you'd be waiting like 2 years.
That's fine.
But I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Scott asks, is Manifest Destiny just the greatest comic of our lifetimes or the best comic for all of eternity?
You're so weird, Stephen Scott. It's just not like, it's a, I haven't read it, so I will accept that I maybe don't know how great it is, but I refuse to believe that Manifest Destiny is better than like,
I think
anything that Tezuka created.
I thought the first three trades were really, really great, but it hasn't been as good as that since the first three stories they told.
Just read something else. Try other things.
Steven is the biggest Image fan in our group. He only reads Image books, and it pains him to read anything besides Image. Philip McFarlane, what is the best American black and white comic? Stray Bullets. Or, yeah, I don't remember that. Currently, Stray Bullets.
Black Magic.
Or maybe Strangers in Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Strangers in Paradise. Mm-hmm. There's so many good ones. Fuck.
Yeah.
It's not Walking Dead.
Not Walking Dead.
Which is fine, but it's not the best. Was Archie black and white for a while? Peanuts.
No, I think it's always been called.
Peanuts. Mm. Is Calvin and Hobbes? Bone. Bone's black and white?
Yep.
There's so many good ones. All right, we're just going to the next ones. There's lots of good black and white comics. People that don't like black and white comics. Get your heads checked.
Absolutely.
Which comic publisher has the most interesting history is a question asked by Jordan Edwards.
I mean, they're all pretty interesting. Like, the history of DC is really interesting. The history of Marvel's very interesting. Image is very interesting in like a, you know, it was this reaction against DC and Marvel, what DC and Marvel became. That's very interesting.
And then became the most ridiculous 90s label ever and now is the opposite of that. Mm. And then you've got the Valiant universe, like, going bankrupt and then being rebought and brought back to glory recently. Shatterstar's here, everybody. Shatterstar's got some questions to ask. Mostly, where's my fucking dinner? Tom Burton asks, do you guys consider yourselves celebrities? I know I consider all the hosts and comedians on the various Australian podcasts I listen to kind of like celebrities, but I wonder if all you guys think as much.
That's very adorable. I like, okay, someone did comment something on the Facebook page recently, and I can't remember who it was, so I'm really sorry, that did totally blow my fucking mind, where he said he went into his local comic book store in Kentucky, United States of America, and talked... Where they invented chicken, and he was talking to the owner of the store who said that they were a fan, which blows my tiny mind, and that's really cool. But definitely not. That's bizarre. It's bizarre. I think you are a local Sydney celeb. You're a celeb.
I was on the front cover of Time Out once.
Yeah. A friend of my little sister was embarrassed to meet you.
Oh, really?
She was really excited to meet you, and I was like, intro you. Yeah, I think so. It was very cute.
We're celebrities at all.
No, that would be weird.
You can be a fan of someone without them having to be a celebrity.
Absolutely. yeah, like I'm a fan of...
Your baby, for
my
one.
My baby? He's not a celeb.
yeah, if we ever start acting like celebrities, just totally call us out on it, guys.
Oh, I laugh too hard and upset my baby.
Oh, so he's calling you out right now. Tom Grant Ellis asks, what's a comic that was so bad it put you off comics for even a little bit because they reminded you of it? It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, there have been times where I've just been like, fuck, I'm so exhausted. I think Convergence really upset me. I think that was a tough time.
Yeah. Chris Neal asks, what's a series that you liked that has been was made by a writer or artist you hate, and a series you hated by a writer or artist you love?
Ooh.
Very specific.
Yeah. Probably Mark Millar's, like, all, like, Adventures of Superman stuff.
Yeah, and then...
I hate Mark Millar.
Especially when he did that Starlight, when he came back.
Yeah.
I think I read, like, Kick-Ass 2, and I was like, this is...
I hate this man.
So bad. Mm. And then that came out of, like, he kind of did a bunch of image books, and that Starlight in particular, I was like, man, I fucking love this so much, and I don't like
Mark Millar at all. We tried to make the Millar Sons a thing.
Yeah, we really thought it was he was coming good, but he's back on his Turns bullshit, writing shit books for idiots again. and then a series that I hate by a writer and artist that I love. That's almost easier, but I can't think of it specifically. I didn't love We Stand on Guard, the Brian K. Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's gross book about America and Canada at war.
I quite liked that one.
But it would, like, compared to everything else he did last, like, you know, year before last, it was...
True.
Had nothing on Paper Girls or Saga or anything else.
True. Oh, that's a tough question.
Grant Morrison, Nameless.
Oh, yeah.
He did an image a while ago, and that was with that awesome penciler who did Batman Inc.
I really didn't like his Batman run at the time, so I think I need to go back and reread that. I think that might be one of those things that, like, I didn't like at first, but now I would enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Brian McDade asks, what are the pros and cons of comics as a medium compared to other forms of entertainment? What do you think comics as an industry needs to do to survive? I mean, comics will be around forever, ever. Maybe as an industry,
yeah,
less so as films take, I don't know, whatever.
But comics will always be around because, like, all, I think Brandon Graham said at Graphic Festival in Sydney when he was being interviewed that all you need to make comics is a pencil and a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's doesn't cost you anything to make a comic, but you have the biggest budget in the world to do whatever
you
want.
Tell your story, yeah.
And it's a totally unique storytelling medium, and it's the best one.
It's my favorite one, too. So the pro is that it's my favorite. Connor asks, what's your official drink of choice for comic book reading? For comic book podcasting, it's green tea. I feel like that's what we drink almost every episode.
Green tea is pretty much what I drink 90% of the time.
I occasionally will go out, take my comics with me, drink too much wine or too many beers.
That's nice.
Oh, I was drunk when I read that one. I got, you're right, I had a bunch of beers with, and then I had a cocktail with Claire from Planet Broadcasting
because
she was
nice.
Up from Melbourne for a podcast festival on
Thursday
night.
So you just sat with
night.
Her and ignored her and read comic books?
No. And then on the train home, I got my comics out and I read some. That's why I was like, I knew I got drunk last week. So yeah, I mean, occasionally it's beer and wine.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's just tea for me because I'm boring.
I'm a big fan of natural wines,
mm.
but not a big fan of craft beers. Mm. Go figure. That you would think one and the same, but I like a cheap shit beer.
Yep.
And I love a
fancy pants wine.
No. Fancy pants implies like old bougie French shit. I like natural is like
young bougie shit.
Yeah, that's right. what he also asked, what drink you be fine having to drink every time you read a comic? Connor, you're too young to be drunk. I don't understand what that is.
I think he's the perfect age to be drunk.
That's very 16? True, actually. Fucking hell, I was drunk when I was 16.
Man, I drank a lot of Midori. Disgusting.
Philip McFarlane asks, which comics have you bought based solely on the cover? Did they live up to the promise of the cover or disappoint?
Oh, everything and then never.
Yeah, all superhero comics, like so many of them are like, oh my God, look what's going to happen in this
yes.
issue. And then I learned to not succumb to the tricks of superhero comic covers long ago.
It's a good call.
Luke Osavort, again, which supervillain would make the best boss? Luthor.
Yeah, obviously Luthor. I think he'd probably really look after his stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Luke Osavort, again, what do you think comics could learn from manga and vice versa?
I mean, the thing that immediately like pops into my head is that manga, if possible, has an even worse attitude towards creators. Like, Tezuka put himself into an early grave by working to such insane deadlines. So I think manga could just chill out a little bit, guys.
And comics could learn format. I would love, like, you know, that classic novel size manga format for books, like smaller panels.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of like romance comics or like, you know, like kind of smaller, even superhero comics would fit that mold a bit better.
But also, they do things in Japan where everything's like serialized in magazines.
Right. Yeah, totally.
I would love that, where like a monthly magazine where I get like six different stories serialized, but that caters to my specific like genre taste.
We would complain about that every single time it came out because we'd be like, I don't remember. It. We got that. Oh, with yeah. That weird Alan Moore book. Which we didn't remember one thing from.
That was hard, though.
That was hard.
That's hard work.
How many questions on a Q&A thread is considered spamming or greedy? No, 50.
10.
Why does that was asked by Philip McFarlane. Tom Grant Ellis asks, why does Levins hate omnibuses? Because they are enormous.
They're hard to read.
They're hard to read. You can't even bend them properly to read every page. And I just think, like, any comic that can be read uses a murder weapon.
But like probably any could.
That's true. Paper cut to death.
Absolutely. Wow.
Staples, eat one of those, you're fucked.
You're fucked, mate. I like omnibuses because it's nice to have it all collected into one thing. And also, comic book store hot tip, if you're looking for something that will appreciate in value, omnibuses actually do. Because stuff will go out of print and that'll be the only way that you can collect the whole thing.
Rick asks, will you be my father, Levins? Sure. Edward Headington Jr. asks, you guys planning on doing any concasts at all? Our con in Seattle has been dedicating sections to podcasts. That would be super rad. Does that mean like go to cons? Like eventually?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll take our kids on the road and do a bunch of cons. I've never been to a con, like besides like our shitty ones in Australia. Like I would love to go to an insane one in the States at some point. I'd love to go on one of like the smaller ones in like...
Yeah. I want to go to Thought Bubble in the UK.
When Rebecca, who asked us a few questions, is going to that.
Ah, I'm very jealous, Rebecca. Next.
She asked if we wanted anything, and I said, just spend all that money on yourself.
Yeah, you please, Rebecca. It. That's very kind of you, though.
Philip McFarlane asks, will you be trying to bring Shatterstar up in a non-gendered environment?
That seems hard. I don't heaps know what that means. I mean, I'm going to encourage him to not hate women. And to think of women as people.
I think if people that choose to do too, that's totally amazing and
absolutely
incredible. But it's just something that I just, in my head, it just seems extremely difficult.
It seems really
parenting is difficult enough.
Absolutely. If Shatterstar turns around and is like, actually, I think I'm more like Domino in my little Shatterstar body, I'd be like, you know what? Absolutely. You do you, little guy. Or little girl. Whatever.
Yeah, I think I try and raise my kids in an...
As long as you're an X-Force, I don't care.
Yeah, I try and... An equal-gendered environment is certainly easier than non.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's still hard. Trenmont brought me from because of the world, not because of us.
Yeah.
Trenmont Bench asks, I like top five lists, so can you do a top five of any of the following? Okay, sassy female superheroes.
Female Hawkeye.
Yep, I was going to Hawkeye straight away. Mockingbird.
Who else is sassy?
Jubilee.
Yes, Rogue. Absolutely. Rogue. Those are all Marvel so far. We need one DC.
No, they're not really that sassy. Huntress.
Huntress, yes. Nice, nailed
it. Great, we did it. Okay, Daredevil love interests.
I don't know them.
Karen.
Karen is the worst one. She sucks. She's not in the top five. Night Nurse. I don't know. Misty Knight. I don't know.
The one that Wade made up with the Spanish last name that was named after the dead...
Oh, yeah. Oh, Elektra.
Elektra.
There we go.
Nate's about to walk out of the house. I don't know. Do we do five? That's five.
That's fine.
Most boring Bendis books. Civil War 2. All new X-Men. Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
This is way too easy.
Anything
Daredevil End of Days.
Yep.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
Very easy. Not manga, but often confused for manga books.
Oh, God. Probably like Faith Erin Hicks's books.
Empowered?
Yeah, Empowered.
Mech Cadet U.
Wonton Soup by Stucco. I'm just looking at my shelf.
Batman.
Yep.
Gary Molesby asks, what's a story art that caught you off guard, perhaps seemed out of character for a book, but was awesome nonetheless? I loved when Punisher was suddenly Frankenstein. They did that Frankencastle act that Rick Remender did. That was so good. Nate is shaking his head. That was great.
It was so dumb, but it was pretty silly.
Punisher is a tremendously dumb character.
Yeah, totally.
And so making him dumber is A-okay by me.
That's a good call.
Ian Tomlinson asks, what is your guilty pleasure comic so bad that you just have to read it? Suicide Squad, currently.
Witch of the Black Rose. There's this manga called Monster Musume, which I will flick through every single time it comes out at King's, because it's this horrible, horrible, sexy manga about this guy who's like, I have to live in a house with all these sexy monster women, but I'm not allowed to fuck them because that's the rules of Monster Town. And they're all just rubbing their boobs on his face. And he's like, oh, I can't fuck you, though. That's my favorite.
It's a brilliantly taken out of context little shinbone piece if anyone wants to do the song with that. When you read sexy comics, do you get excited and want to skip forward to the sexy part, or do you like the build up?
I'm there for the story, right,
okay,
guys?
Right. Because I just bought a bunch of European dude that got in trouble for doing Spider-Woman.
Oh, Minara.
I bought a bunch of his comics. I read the Gulliver's Travels one about the girl.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, incredible.
It's so great. But the story to get there is so silly and fantastic.
So good. He's a good storyteller, guys. Just you have to take it in the manner in which it is intended.
Favorite comic book movie, Dread.
Oh, that's a good call.
I loved Dread.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Amazing. Top 100 posts by Jordan Edwards.
Jordan posts a lot.
Number one was, I don't know if you saw this, number one was he asked, what's your favorite beverage to drink while... No, how do you like to read comics?
Yeah, that was cute.
And he said he likes to put his feet up on the couch with a chai latte.
That's so nice. I like a chai latte too. You know what I've just discovered, Jordan, is a dirty ginger latte.
What the fuck? What is that? You put vodka in it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, olive juice, like a dirty martini.
No, you put a shot of coffee in it.
Okay, right.
Nice.
Which minute of the day do you think, these are all Jordan related ones, which minute of the day do you think Jordan will hit 7,000 posts? I'm sure he's done it already.
Yeah.
What film / book / telly show would you like to see as a comic? I already said Venture Brothers.
I don't know. RuPaul's Drag Race.
And,
I don't know.
Oh,
it's the
wow.
only TV show that I watch.
Oh yeah. RuPaul's Drag Race, the comic. I mean, that'd be great.
I would,
it's a great
though.
Call. Seamus Duffy asks, why doesn't Rogue just keep one of those mutant power suppressing collars around for banging purposes?
This is a great fucking point, because she has banged Magneto because he was the only person who could touch her.
Really?
Yeah, for ages in that Savage Land stuff.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Right.
He's like, he was in lot. He
He's 4,000 years
II.
Old.
He was in the Holocaust, guys.
Christopher Burton says... Oh, it's not even a question. He says, oh, dang, I missed this. Look forward to hearing everyone else's questions. Anyway, you didn't miss this.
You could have still.
Christopher.
You fool.
And then we're going to end on a question.
As we began.
Exactly. We've got one last one by Connor Stevens. He asks, if you're facing off against an enemy, how many bullets do you need?
Just one.
This is if you should go to my Twitter. I did I infiltrated a horrible Rick and Morty Facebook group.
Oh, my God. I did see that. That was really funny.
Go look at my Twitter for an adventure, which is
you
kind
have
of...
children. How do you have time to just troll Rick and Morty fan pages?
I do it on the train and stuff. I don't know. You can troll Rick and Morty fan pages and raise children. It's true. Don't listen to anyone else who tells you otherwise.
I don't know how he does it.
But yeah, thank you so much for listening, and for everyone who sent in a question. That was super duper fun.
That was fun. We'll I can't believe people will listen to that. That was good.
Yeah, it was really fun. Hopefully you learned the information about us that you wanted to learn. If you enjoyed this insight into our minds and would like it to happen more often, we'll do one every time we hit a certain amount of money on our Patreon, I guess.
Yep.
Every
cool.
$50 maybe per month. 50 to 100 bucks? I don't
know.
Whatever. I don't
know.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll do it whenever we feel like. All right, guys.
I love doing this. This is really fun. It's fun communicating with the listeners. We love hearing from you as often as possible, so this is great fun. But if you would like to see more of these happen, please find us at patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. As little as $2 a month gets you access to all the extra content, and it gives us more incentive to spend more time talking about comics with you. You know, this is a largely free podcast that takes a lot of our, you know, it's an entire day of our lives each week, most of which is Siobhan having to run back and forth to feed Shatterstar and stop him from crying.
He's a very cranky baby this week.
He's incredibly serene and peaceful on your lap right now. It's incredible. Anything you're able to give, like, you know, we understand if you can't, that's totally fine. But if you're able to, like, you know, it'll only lead to more content from us. Patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
And if you desperately have a question that you want to ask, just send it to us.
Yeah.
At seriousissues@kingscomics.com, and we'll try and answer it in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, and see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this is Levins. Thanks so much for listening to Serious Issues. If you're not completely sick of my voice by now, why don't you check out one of my other podcasts? One is called Hey Fam. and is about comedy and pop culture, so like comic book movies and comic book TV shows, all that kind of thing. The other one is called The Mitchin, and it's all about the food and bar scene in Sydney. You can find both of them on iTunes or download them directly at yolevins.com/podcasts. Thanks so much for your support, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.